can you say, woo? George said make a joyful noise. That sounds pretty joyful, right? Woo! Woo! I don't know. It's fun anyway. How many believe that right now, today, is the greatest opportunity, the greatest moment, the greatest season of your life? Do you believe? Do you perceive that the presence of the Lord is in this place? Huh? Mm. Do you know? Can you grow in the presence of the Lord that's in this place? He's made the soil so fertile, and he's calling to you, saying, only just believe. Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, the body. And if you do, your life will transform. I had an experience last Saturday, not last night, but the Saturday prior. And in a moment, I had a revelation, I had insight that is really challenging for me to articulate through a specific phrase of words. But I'm just going to say it like this. Looking at the things that we occupy ourselves with oftentimes, the things that we become concerned about, we're so minor in comparison to everything that God had prepared for us, as though a banquet table was prepared. And if you'd sit down and eat, everything was just better than okay. And then the next elevated feeling was, it is, if you would only see it the way God is wanting to show it to you, your life would change. Ideas, dreams, plans, decisions would be so radically different if you could step into that scenario of God's reality for 5 seconds. You would never consider going back to where you were. Just if you could just see, it felt so peaceful, so powerful, but endless. Just so much of God's presence. And one of the most prominent feelings that I experienced was, if the Lord were saying it this way, I'm expressing it in the best way that I know. If the Lord were saying it this way, I wish you could see the way I have it designed and prepared for you today. If you would only trust me, if you'd really only just trust me, you would obey me. If you'd only just trust me, you would obey me. And if you would, your world would be so dramatically different that you would never go back to the way it was. So I put before you today, that reality is in the Spirit of God, and it's in the kingdom of God that's in you. Remember when Jesus answered them, when they said, show us the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom of God doesn't come in the way you're thinking about it. It doesn't come with observation. You can't say it's here or it's there. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's revealed in you. We can't know the mind of God. We just can't. But we can have the mind of Christ. And the difference is, knowing what God's thinking, you can't, the word says his thoughts are higher, his ways are higher, so how could you possibly get there? You can't. However, in surrender to the will of the Father, then we take on the mind of Christ. And then things become vividly clear. Remember, Jesus said, I'm doing the will of the Father. Well, how did he know the will of the Father? He had the mind of Christ. He is the Christ, the Holy Spirit, the anointed one. You can't figure out the mind of God. Things aren't always, oftentimes, most of the time, they're not going to make sense to you. So you can't just go out and get the mind of God. Oh, I understand you now, God. I get it. You can't do that. But you can have the mind of Christ. And the difference is the mind of Christ becomes a part of you. And that part of you trusts the Lord so implicitly, so completely that you don't question God. Whatever the word says about you, you are. Whatever God says, be or do or believe this, you just do. And when you do, this moment, and I tried to express this Sunday, and I feel like I fell far short of expressing what I experienced, but I just felt like, oh my God, oh my God, help us all, help us to see it the way you want us to see it, the way you're showing it to us. Help us open our eyes to see it. Because this was the imparting revelation, what was imparted to me, that was empowering to me. This alternate reality is available right here. This alternate reality. Listen, if you find yourself trying to make yourself satisfied, you know what I'm talking about? Those that are viewing today, if you find yourself trying to be okay with the reality that you're in, that's not the one God has for you. I mean, you can settle for anything. You know, the exile of Egypt, the Israelites were ready to go back and play in the mud, spend the rest of their life in mud, making bricks and being slaves, because a different part of their character was called on. And the word teaches us we're no longer slaves, we're no longer in bondage, but you have to get that. So I challenge you today, to dare to believe beyond your present reality. Are you hearing me? Dare to believe. Dare to believe beyond your present reality. Think about this. Have you ever thought, I just wished it were better than this. I just wished it were so much better than this. Have you ever felt that? Anyone in the house? Think about God saying, if you would listen to me, if you would pay attention, if you would just listen to me, if you would pay attention, it would be so much beyond what you're living and experiencing today, that you would go and say something like, oh my God, thank you for not allowing me to stay where I would have chosen to remain. Thank you for allowing me not to stay where I was. So I'm putting this out there to you because you need to capture this vision, even if it's beyond your comprehension. If you can just capture this little piece that says, there is an alternate reality that is so available and so much better, full of peace. I mean, I'm talking about a peace. Oh, just a peace like you don't know. A joy that you're so completely content. Paul said, whatever state I find myself in, he said, I have found to make myself content. Well, not making yourself content, but what Paul is talking about is he's saying, I have found an alternate reality. I have found a different place. So no matter what state is in, I find myself in this peace. Not complacent, just solidly, firmly founded in this peace and in this joy. But we can tend to think about peace and joy as this place where everything's just calm and nothing's really going on, but this place of peace is different than you think. This place of peace is very disruptive. Just think about if you could jump off the highest mountain and just land wherever you wanted to be, at whatever speed you determined was right for you. Jump off of a mountain and you could just kind of float around, you know, just determine wherever you want to be. Any of you flyers in your dreams? Any of you fly in your dreams? Yeah, I've done that for years. I can go any place. When I first started, I could barely get off the ground. And literally, after years, I can go any place I want, anytime I want, at any speed I want. It's boundless. And it speaks to me personally. Now, I know someone's going to try and interpret that, but I can interpret what it says to me. It showed me how to relax into my faith, and at the same time, only by agitating it. Like believing for something that just is so superior, beyond you, where you're just kind of restless with it, but you're drawn to it. And in that, if you were able to jump off the highest mountain and just land wherever you wanted, the fear of falling was gone. I'm not suggesting anyone do this. Do not do this. You would no longer fear the highest mountain. The same thing with everything else in your life. That place is a reality. I challenge you to believe in that today. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go there. You can take your seats. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Come on. We have to do that one more time because it fell so lean. I like to eat fish, and I enjoy branzino. It's one of the ones I like here in California. And I've had it where it's just so good, and the meat's so thick, and it's so flavorful. Well, the other night, we were with some friends, and I had branzino, and I don't know, that fish was malnutritioned. It had no texture. It was insipid. It had, like, no flavor at all. It was like eating water with skin. And that's pretty gross, and that's a pretty bad description, but I was thankful, because at least I was able to eat. Don't let your response be like that piece of fish. Don't let your amen and your position where you are be a David. David was so amazing. He had a heart after God. And he was amazing because his presence, I mean, I never met him personally, but I kind of have. His presence was just dominant. Where he was, he was. And he owned where he was. Own where you are today. When God made man, he informed them. He said, take dominion over the earth. When you come in, be confident in the Lord. You don't have to be confident in who you are. But if you're confident in him, then that is who you are. It's no longer I, the word says, that lives. It's not me that's alive. It's Christ living in place of me. And the life that I'm living in this body, in this flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. So, don't be a wet piece of tasteless fish today. Come on. Be a whale. Be a shark. Be strong. Be powerful. When God made man, he said, take dominion. Own this place. Take authority here. This place, I'm giving it to you. God has given you dominion over your space. He wants you in charge and full authority of the life that he has gifted you with. Almighty God, the Lord, summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Psalms 50, verse 1. I love that. It connects with this. Today didn't just show up. God created it. Everything that was necessary, all the laws that had to be orchestrated perfectly together today, created this day, and God did all of that, and he did it for you. So the word says, so say, this is the day God has made. I will rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. Don't be distracted by your concerns and your fears. God is beyond that. Let's step into this greater alternate reality to where you've been living. Believe, even if you feel like your life has been just pretty all right. I want you to just blow that to pieces and say there's so much more. Thank you, Steve. I missed you not being in the house. Say there's so much more. Come on, try to make me like you a little more today, okay? Come on, help me. There's so much more. And I'm not leaving here without it. Come on, say it. Have you ever sat down with across the table from someone? And I have a tendency to do this. Sometimes I'll be looking at someone. Someone said to me, I can outstare you. I said, sorry, I wasn't even looking at you. I was looking through you. Have you ever, that I can do that a lot, but have you ever sat down at a table or been with someone or in a vehicle or in a meeting and you just, your mind was somewhere else and you just, you couldn't connect and then you left and you said, I didn't get anything out of that. That's because you weren't there. So be here. Be present. Learn to take dominion. I want to say this to you. If you would do one thing in your life, it would change your world. If you'd learn about and understand about, all about your design, it would change your world. If you just knew what you are about, if you would just learn to understand, get involved with your design, it would radically change your world, and you would find yourself living in this alternate, I'm going to call it, reality, which is really the only true reality because it's God's will. And remember the scripture says, God, this God, my God, I love the way the prophet said it, his way is perfect. Not just his ways, his way, whatever he does, it's perfect. That reality. How many have ever read the scripture where it says God is doing a new thing? Have you ever heard that? Do you believe it? Wouldn't it be great to see it? It's in you. It's the same thing as when Jesus said, when they said, show it to us. Jesus literally said, you show me. It's in you. You show me the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray the kingdom come. It didn't mean come. The kingdom come, your will be done. I mean, where's God's will being done? He said, ask God, his will be done in you. When you pray, Jesus said, your will, Father, not my will, your will. So we know that's the way to pray. So everything that you're going to experience in relationship to God is going to be something that comes directly through you, to you, or from you. You can have knowledge. Knowledge comes to you. But the power of knowledge has to come through you. It doesn't matter how much you learn if you never implement what you have learned. The learning is not power. Exercising what you have learned is power. That's pretty simple, right? You can learn a lot, but if you never exercise that power in which you've learned, you can never really hone your craft. So you're never really good enough for you to be confident in what you can do. Be a confident believer. Be confidently born again. Don't be afraid of anything. There's only one God and only one Lord in Christ, only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Trinity of God. There's only one God. Satan is not a God. He cannot affect the born again in Christ. He can't follow you. The Word says, submit yourself therefore unto God. By doing so, you're resisting the enemies of all of them, devil, demons, spirits. Submit yourself to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. So if you ever feel like the enemy, I don't even like calling him that because he's not worthy to be called an enemy. He's a nothing. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. But submit yourself therefore unto God. So if you say, he's chasing me, you need to submit. Because the Word says when you submit, he won't chase you. He will run away from you. You may be chasing him, but he's not going to be chasing you. And you could do a lot better things and spend your time a lot better than chasing the devil. So just be done with that. There's only one God. This is just a fundamental of being in authority in your life. There's only one God. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. It said 365 times, one time for every day of the year. Fear not, God is with you. Walk in confidence, take dominion. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. This is your design. Let him walk in dominion. Know your design. know your design. You may not be able to know the mind of God, but you can have the mind of Christ. And the mind of God, Christ, is going to teach you all about your design. Your design. What are we designed for? Well, the Word says we're designed to live by faith. That's what you're designed for. You're designed to live by faith. When you think about faith, what do you think about? I'm prophesying to you today. You need to hear me. Within the sphere of this Word is the prophecy that you need to hear from God. It's the Word of the Lord to move forward. When you think about faith, how many have faith in the house? James would challenge you. He said, oh, you have faith? You know what James said? Show me. That was James. He said, you say you have faith. Show me. He said, I can show you mine. Can you show me yours? Show and tell. Show me your faith. Can you show me your faith? So often when we think about faith, and this is what God was saying to me in this alternate reality. How do we do this? What do we do? You know, what is God doing? Talked about this last Sunday. What is God doing? A better question is, through whom is he going to do what he is doing? Better question than, what is God doing? What is God going to do about this? The question should be, is what is he going to do through me about this? What is God going to do through me? Because the reason for faith is for relationship and unity with the Father. That's what faith is all about. And faith can keep you out of a lot of trouble. But hang on to that word trouble, because we're going to use it in a minute. New mic. It took us all morning to get this thing set. Have you noticed the new lights? Isn't that great? New lights and all in the house, and things happening, more stuff's happening, a lot of things are happening, God is happening. Alternate reality, it's dawn of a new day, this is the greatest season of my life. We say all those things around here for a reason. The favor of God is after you, he's pursuing you, no doubt it's true, and all you have to do is stop, the music stops, and worship him. All those things mean something. They're said to make you think about a different reality than the one you fight and contend and struggle with. Feel good about being blessed. Being blessed is not an opportunity for the devil. New level, new devil is a religion. It's not the Word of God, and it should be thrown in the dumpster and never brought back in the house. When you think about faith, James said it like this. You say you have faith. He said, show me. Some of you say, well, I have works. Some of you say, well, I have faith. He said, you can't have one without the other. He said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, it's not by works that we are born again. It's not by works that we are saved. Salvation is most assuredly a gift from God. But it is not the end. It is the beginning. Salvation positions you in a way that you can have unity with the Father, and he wanted us to do this. And Paul told us about it. Paul said he wants us to be able to discern the will of God. Paul said it like this in Romans 12. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's a surrender. Surrender to God, and evil will run away from you. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God as a sacrifice that is alive, a lively, quickened sacrifice. One of faith, one of actuation, one of action. So submit yourself. You bring yourself as a sacrifice to God. And he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So he's saying, present yourself a living sacrifice. And think about it, holy, acceptable unto God. That's who I are. What is? Your will. God will not answer your prayer until he has your will. God requires your will. Now, you can say, Father, save me, and he will save you, and you can be as uneducated in the word as can be, but that's surrender. Father, save me. He saves you. You're born again. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. That's not your ticket to heaven. Your relationship with Father is your entrance into the kingdom. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What is our call? Our call is to live by faith. Present yourself, therefore, unto God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is true worship. This is true worship. This is, should be your rationality. This should be the way a born-again believer thinks. I'm coming before God. I surrender myself under the mighty hand of God. I am an acceptable sacrifice because my sacrifice is all that God wants, all that I am. I surrender myself to Him, and He fills the space and the emptiness because I emptied myself out with who He is. He empowers me, and now I'm ready to begin living. Born again. When a baby is born again, we have a little baby, little Noah in the house. He's going to build an ark and take the people somewhere. So when a baby is born, you don't say, oh my gosh, he's dying. No, he just has begun to live. And you go out and buy him all kinds of clothes. You should never bring a baby around my wife and myself because we love to buy clothes and things for babies and just dress them. Get them prepared to live. When you're born again, you've just begun to live. You just started to live. And some people die. They get born again and then jump in a grave. It's like, we're done. I have my ticket to get to heaven. No, you have an invitation to explore the kingdom of God so God can express His kingdom through you in a way that people can know Christ through you. So you express a faith that they can follow. You express an identity that makes them envious, makes them jealous, makes them hungry. God said, I'm going to make this nation jealous because of you. In other words, you're going to walk in obedience to my word and my will, and they're going to be jealous of you. They're going to want to be like you. That's our power of influence in the earth, to do what we do, to live the way we live in Christ so well that people want it too. They want to follow it. You can't make anyone do that, but you can be an inspiration to those that are willing and those that are hungry, those that are willing and those that are hungry, those that are willing and those that are hungry. So we've got this covered, right? If I only knew my design, I could live in an alternate reality that remains, that is the true reality that God has purposed. If I only knew my design, think about it. In Genesis, God says, let us make man. He announces to all of creation, this is what we are going to do. We're going to make man and woman, and we're going to create them in our likeness and in our image, and we're going to give them a conscious will. That's their gift. Their gift is their will. Not so much their body, not so much that they have the garden. Their will is their gift. And if they understand their design, and they exercise their design, your destiny, your purpose, your reason, if they'll exercise that, then they'll enjoy everything. If they don't, it will crush them. They'll constantly be under a sense of emptiness, constantly looking for the another, for the next, instead of receiving, as Liang says, the instead. Don't do that. Instead, do this. That's why we say around here, if you get a no about something you've been believing for, celebrate the no. So God can give you the instead, which is better than the yes you wanted. So powerful in the Word where the Scripture's talking. We need some people like this. Someone asked me a question the other day, and I was filtering through the question, trying to understand exactly what was being said, and it was something like, this was prophesied about us, and this didn't come to pass. What do you think about that? And I went, well, there are a lot of reasons why a certain thing may not come to pass in your mind that was prophesied, okay? But none of that really matters, because how do you know that it didn't come to pass? Because you're only living in one reality. We are created to live beyond the present reality. So the old patriarchs had this kind of faith. They said, we were made a lot of promises. We received the promise, but we never saw them. But we were excited to see them in another reality. God prepared a better place. Do you hear what they're saying? I mean, do you really hear what they're saying? If God said it, it happened. Certain things they didn't see in this reality, but they did see. Moses was promised to go into the promised land, and he never made it, did he? Yeah, he did. Mount Tabor. He and Elijah stood there with Jesus. It's within the realm of Canaan. So he still got a different reality. But the word of the Lord is sure. The word of the Lord will come to pass. Everything God has said to you, every prophetic word God has given you, it exists. You may not experience it in this reality. Don't get discouraged. There's so much more. This gets really, really better. This gets really good. The ancient says, we saw it, and we considered that we, after a while, we saw it afar off, and we never experienced the promise, but we died in faith. Isn't that a powerful word? Some live in faith, some die in faith. Some live in faith, some die in faith. But whether we live or whether we die, we do it as unto the Lord. And the point here is don't be discouraged if what you have been believing God for doesn't translate into the form you want it to. But know the important thing is that God said something to you that is driving you by faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. See, in this reality, this destined reality that God has called us to, and it's quoted in the Word, it's declared in the Word, that there would literally be, as it were, a new world. The kingdom of God would be manifest, and people would be drawn to our faith. That's going to come out of a generation. When Jesus addresses what the ancient people, the old patriarchs said, the scriptures say, and Jesus was saying to us, but I have prepared for you a better place. But he's not talking about dying. He's talking about right here. And what he's referring to is they heard the promise about me and never saw me. But you have seen me. You have seen their promise. Are some people going to see your promise? Are you leaving a heritage? Are you going to leave a promise for a generation after you that empowers them? Because you believed in faith and did not doubt in your heart, you only just believed. Do you know what the real gift is? It isn't getting the stuff. Adam and Eve got all the stuff. It didn't satisfy them. The only thing that would have satisfied them in the garden, one simple thing, is if they had believed God. How do you do that? You have to know your design. What is that? I'm supposed to live by faith. Not get by faith. Live by faith. Now, for all those that are pulling your hair out going, oh my God, I've been believing God to heal me, to give me a better job. No, your faith applies to your needs. Your faith applies to your needs. Of course it does. You can have faith. He's called a centurion soldier. He was a captain. And his servant, referred to the guy as his servant, and he must have been some type of a household servant because it was under his roof. So the guy is tormented. He's in pain. And the centurion hears that Jesus is coming around or is in the vicinity, so he goes to him. Or some versions say he sent his servant, but they go to him. And this is his order. Go and tell the Lord that my servant is sick. And so they told him. And Jesus said, he also said something else, but Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Simple. Faith. The man had faith. Speak the word. I mean, come and heal my servant. Go tell the Lord so he'll heal my servant. Okay, go. I come. Let's say the centurion shows up himself. He's there and he says, Lord, my servant is ill. Will you heal him? Jesus said, yes, I will go and heal him. Here's where the alternate reality takes its place in your life. This is where it begins. The centurion wasn't good with that. See, we use our faith to get out of trouble. We use our faith to address issues. But if we use our faith to address issues, we will never know our faith without issues. If need is what drives our faith, the only faith we'll ever know is need. I apply my faith because I need. I need a healing. I need finances. I need my ministry to grow. I need my business to grow. I need my faith to address a problem. No, you need your faith to create a problem. Centurion had it done. He'll come, he'll heal me. But he said no. Now Jesus already confirmed that he would come, so we're good. The man says no. I'm going to make this difficult. I'm going to make it impossible. I'm not worthy. Now he came about his servant, something very important, and everyone could use this. Everyone likes what everyone else is capable of. You have money, you can give people money. You have a position, you can help them financially, whatever it is, whatever it is. Everyone likes someone for something, I get that. But this guy is unique. He doesn't make it about him at all, other than he's not worthy. He makes it all about his servant. All about his servant. How often do you make it about someone else? Faith makes it about someone else. Faith isn't about addressing your issues. Faith is about revealing Christ. Faith is about coming into unity. Faith is about being a witness where people see Christ in you. I get all the prosperity teaching and preaching, don't agree with all of it. I know God wants to bless you and will bless you, but I believe there's a blessing beyond trying to get into someone's wallet or just try to make more money. Now, if those resources are applied to the kingdom of God, that's a totally different world. But to try and address your needs, that's not necessarily faith, that's need. And if need is always what's driving your faith, you'll never know faith without a need. Need will always drive your faith instead of your faith creating the need. So the centurion says, I'm not worthy. Don't come, just speak from here to there. He created a problem, and Jesus liked it. His faith created a problem. Now we have a distance issue. Well, it's no problem for God. No, but he didn't know that, but his faith did. His faith said, I'm not worthy. But he says, I know this. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I am a man of authority. If I say to one of my soldiers, go, he goes. If I say stay, he stays. If I say do this, he does what I say. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. He created a problem. He could have had it resolved easily. Come heal. But he created an issue. Nope, don't come. Don't put your hand on him like you've been doing all over and everyone that I've been seeing you heal. Just say it at a distance and he'll be healed. Jesus turned to the people and he said, you see this? You see this? I haven't seen this great of faith in all of Israel. He didn't come to me to have a need taken care of. He didn't come to me to have a problem resolved. He came to me to create one. His faith created a problem and God liked it. If your faith will create something that faith needs to address in your life before you have a need that calls on it, that's great faith. David goes, brings lunch to his brothers. That's what he was supposed to do. He goes and he brings lunch to his brothers. He hears all this turmoil and he goes and he hears this guy, Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, just putting down Israel. So he goes and says, how can you allow this uncircumcised Philistine talk about the armies of God like this? What's wrong with you? Okay, he could have done that. And he could have went home. He did what he was told to do. But David was a troublemaker. He made trouble by faith. And it was the trouble he made by his faith that his faith addressed and made him great in the earth. We always use our faith to address something when something appears to go wrong. Why don't we use our faith to create an issue that faith creates and makes right? Why do we always have to wait for something going wrong, a need taking place, in order for us to use our faith? Why don't you create a world of faith? Why don't you take a step like David did? He went to Saul. They heard what he was saying. He said, man, I'll take care of this guy. I'll take care of him. His brother got angry with him and said, go home, you troublemaker. Well, he was a troublemaker. He created trouble. He stirred up trouble. He made a problem. He created a problem. He created a problem by faith. What was the problem? He's not a warrior. He's never fought a giant before, let alone a champion. Never happened before. But David didn't have to do what he did. His faith made him do what he did. And he made his faith address the problem. The problem is what empowers you. The problem is what teaches you, especially if you create the problem by faith. Anyone in the house educated? What's the principle of learning? Your teacher comes to you and says, I want you to learn. What does the teacher present? A problem. And when you solve it, what do you have? The answers. And what is that? The power of knowledge executed because of the fundamental principle, as you can't learn until you're presented with a problem. Why wait? David said, why wait? I'm not going to wait. I know the word of God. He said, I've already beat up a lion and a bear with my bare hands. Pardon the pun. But he said, today, there's a Philistine that is speaking against the armies of God in such a disrespectful way. He's not of the household of Israel. How can we let this? He said, I'll take him down. And then the giant prophesies and says, you skinny, scrawny little kid, I'm going to smash you, tear you apart, and feed you to the birds. David says, whatever you say about me is going to happen to you. David created a problem, and then he solved it, and God made him king. Are you ready to be kings in the earth? Are you ready to take a position? Are you ready to do something that your faith commands and makes a problem out of? What is a problem? Something that needs to be resolved by understanding, by wisdom, by resources, by power. Do what God has called you to do without fear. Express your faith. James, you have faith? Show me. Show me you have faith. Well, I had a need the other day, and nope. Don't let your need lead. Let your faith create. You create a problem, and let your faith show you how powerful you are. You create an issue, and let your faith address an issue. You know, I love this old preacher, Shambach. He used to say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And I believe that with all my heart. We need that attitude. We apply our faith to the things we need, things we know. What did the word say? I want to do things you don't know. Exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to even ask or think, according to the power that is working on the inside of you. Create a problem instead of trying to solve the old ones. David went and gained victory. He took a stone, threw it, and hit the giant in the head. And the giant was out. Probably wasn't one of those little ones that you and I may have had as kids. It was a big one. But he landed the stone right in his forehead. He dropped. He cut off his head. And when he went to the king before he even went out, the king tried to put his armor on him. And the king said to him, the king said, you can't do this. You're not one of those guys. He said, you're a young man and you're not a warrior. He said, this guy has been a warrior since he was a kid and he's their champion. You can't do this. David said, I'll create the problem. You just stand back and watch my faith. And he created a problem and God gave him great victory. The Lord will do the same for you. He is the God that doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If need is always driving your faith will only be driven by your needs. Let's do something this year that is beyond you. We say we're free from the law, but everything people do, they do according to the law. Well, God said, and I'm going to do, well, you should do what God said. But a lot of these guys, they did beyond. Elijah went. God says, show yourself to Ahab. And he said, and I will end this drought for about three and a half years. He said, go show yourself to him. That's what God said. Go show myself to Ahab. He went and shows himself to Ahab. Ahab says, you troublemaker. Well, he actually was a troublemaker, but he said he wasn't, but he was. He said, I'm not the one that's troubling Israel. He said, you are, because you've disobeyed God. He said, bring your 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asher. He said, bring them up to the mountain. Bring them up to Mount Carmel. And he said, we're going to take care of this. And so he tells them, he says, let's do this. Let's consider that the God that answers by fire. Now, God didn't tell him to do anything that he's about to do. His faith did. He said, you build an altar. You choose which offering you want. I'll give you first choice. You put the offering. You build the altar any way you want. You put your sacrifice. And the God that answers by fire, that's God. The people said, this is a good thing. This is good. Let's do it. So the false prophets, 450 false prophets of Baal, they build their altar. And the word says they cry to their God and they prophesy and they do all this stuff. After a while, Elijah starts mocking them, saying, maybe he's out to lunch. Maybe he's on a journey and forgot to show up. And so they got angry and got more intense. And the word says they started cutting themselves, which was their manner. It's amazing how much damage you will do to yourself when you're not a worshiper of God. You hurt yourself. You bring yourself pain. You bring yourself anguish. You do things to yourself that you should never do. You torment yourself and then blame God. You torment yourself and end up depressed. You torment yourself and end up sad. You torment yourself and wonder where God is when he's all along. He's saying, I'm right here. If you'll just surrender and worship me, if you'd only believe me. See, obedience is not a matter of effort. Obedience is a matter of one thing, and that one thing is faith. Obedience is a matter of faith. Have faith in God. Just have faith in God. You have faith in God. Really have faith in God. You'll obey him. But you know the problem is? Jesus addressed it one time. He said, where is your faith? How is it you have so little of it? Your faith is weak. Why? Because you don't exercise it. You wait for a need to demand your faith instead of demanding that a need meet your faith. You create the problem. You bring the resolve. You become the honor student. You rule as king. You take authority just like God created you to do. Know your design. You were created to live by faith, not use it to get what you need when you're in trouble. Or when you decide this is a good idea, use your faith to challenge your mind. Use your faith to challenge your love. Use your faith to challenge your temperance. Use your faith to take dominion over your earth. You become strong in the faith, you'll start thinking differently. Fears will leave you. That emptiness will go away. Depression will fall away. Anxiety will run away from you. You won't need to blame a demon or a devil or a boss or a neighbor or a relative. You won't want to blame anybody. You'll have no one to blame because you're at peace and in power, and you'll look at the trouble that comes your way as an opportunity so easy to overcome by the word of God, because you're used to creating your own problems and solving them by the glory of God. Elijah didn't have to do what he did. God said, show yourself to Ahab, and I will end the famine. I will end the drought. He said, come on. I love Elijah. Come on. Bring all 450, 850 in total. Bring all the 850 prophets, and let's see who God is. So they cut themselves. They cry that. Come the end, no answer, because there is no God but God. There's only one God. God didn't answer their God because their God was a figment of their imagination. It was an idol they made up. Every idol and every idolater is worshiping themselves, their own ideas. That's why the word says First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's the first commandment. Jesus said the most important is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But the word says, have no other gods before me. First commandment, have no other gods before me. Just love me with all your heart. Have no other gods before me. So Elijah, it's his turn, and he says, okay. So he rebuilt the altar of the Lord that they had torn down. He rebuilt the altar of God. He built an altar of faith. It's time for you to build an altar of faith. He didn't build an altar of sacrifice. He built an altar of faith that he put the sacrifice on. And there's a huge difference. And then he said, Father, bear witness that you are God with me. And bear witness to them that you answer. An answer by fire. But he didn't stop there. He said, I want you to bring pitchers and pitchers of water. He dug a trench around the altar that he had built. And he poured water on it over and over and over. The word says until it ran off of the altar, drenched the wood, and ran around the ditch around the altar and filled that up. Elijah liked to create a problem that only faith could answer. And that's what he did, and God honored him. Because the need didn't command his faith. He commanded his faith to create a need. He used his faith to make a problem that God would answer. No self-indulgence. That's not the same thing as, okay, God, I'm going to do this for me, and I'm going to do this for me. No, how about doing something beyond you for a moment? How about learning to take yourself out of the equation like the centurion? What could you do by faith that would just bless someone you love? Not for self-advantage. Be a blessing. Something you don't have to do. Maybe it cost you a little bit. Maybe it's a little of an offering. You know, I'm going to go here for just a second. Oftentimes, people read the word where it says, bring a tenth, bring a tithe. And some people say, well, that's done after the law. No, it was instituted before the law. It wasn't a part of the law. Now, the word says that Abraham brought a sacrifice, or brought an offering to the priest of Salem, high priest of God, Melchizedek. He brought it and gave it because he didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he had faith to do and wanted to. But some people bring their tithe, and it's their tithe to the penny. That's fine. Bring a tenth part. You're operating by the law of tithing, not the old law. But God said he is pleased with a free will offering. When David went down to Ornan and made a sacrifice unto the Lord, he did what was in his heart. He did what faith did. Why don't you break the law and institute honor and favor by doing more than you have to? Are you doing something to soothe your conscience so you can walk away and say, I did it? Or are you living by faith? Are you believing God? Are you making a statement? Look how quiet it gets in the house. So I'm going to say what James says. You say you have faith? Show me. Show me. He didn't say you had to give me anything. Not at all. I'm saying do something. But consider how we think, how our mind is caged, how we framework our thoughts. God gave me $1,000, here's $100. God gave me $1,010, here's $1,001. Don't breach that dollar. Where is your faith? Are you doing something because you have to? Or are you doing something because you're blessed to? Are you believing God because you have needs? Are you believing God because you live by faith? Are you receiving the word of the Lord as the blessing of God, or are you receiving it as a command so you don't get to do the things that you want to do? Do you know what the word of God is? The word of the Lord is life. The word of the Lord is power. The word of the Lord is truth. God said, come before me, bring an offering, worship me. Worship me in the spirit of holiness. Worship me in the spirit of beauty. Honor the Lord with your whole heart. Honor the Lord with all your substance. Bless somebody outside of you. Is your need driving your faith? Is your need driven because of a problem, or do you use your faith to create a problem? Elijah called upon God. Fire came down. The word says it licked up the water. It just engulfed the offering, the sacrifice, the wood, the dust, gone. That's what faith, great faith, does. He didn't have to do that. God didn't tell him to do that. God just said, go and show yourself to the king. I'll end the drought. Then he did something else. He got into it, Anton. He got into the flow of doing what he didn't have to do, but yet doing what he was designed to do, living by faith. I don't have to do this, but I'm doing it because I'm designed. I know my design. I get it. Dominion in the garden was simply understanding your design. I am designed to live by faith. That means God's word is the law to me. It's the law of life. So then Elijah goes up. He didn't have to do this, but he does. He goes up to the mountain. He kneels down before the Lord, puts his head between his knees, and he just starts praying. He tells his servant, go and look over the water and tell me when you see a cloud. He goes and he comes back. He says, I didn't see anything. He said, go seven times. No place in the word does it say God told him to do it. His faith told him to do it. He goes seven times. He comes back the seventh time and says, well, there's a tiny cloud about the size of a man's hand. That's not quite going to end the drought that has been persistent for over 3 years. He said, get up. He told the king Ahab, he said, you better run before the rain stops you. That's great faith. That's great faith. Create a problem. What was the problem? Well, he said it was going to rain. He said he needed to run and get out of there, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of trouble can you stir up with your faith? What can you believe God for? How can you bless someone around you with your faith? How about starting there? Well, I don't want to put myself in a position that, you know, maybe I don't have strong enough faith. You're right, you probably don't. Because you wouldn't talk like that if you did. Strong faith would say, whether it is or whether it isn't, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to live by faith. It's going to go down in my records that I lived by faith. How much I accomplished, who knows? But what they're going to be able to say about me is that man, that woman, lived by faith. They knew their design. They knew why they were here. Peter came to Jesus and said, you know, don't go to the cross and don't die. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of men, not of God. You're a hindrance to me. Call him the devil because he was not seeking the will of the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to do what I was designed to do. As a man in a body, I was designed to come and lay down my life and to remove sin so you could have a relationship through me with the Father, so you can live by faith and not be overwhelmed by a law that you don't have the power to keep because of your doubt and unbelief. I'm going to become living faith in you. I'm going to become a spring of living water that wells up within your soul, and you'll be driven by faith. So you're going to have to repent of your religion and your idolatry and begin to serve God with a full heart and say, God, we can do all things through Christ and nothing is impossible to me. In this new year, this year, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do things by faith unlike I've ever seen. I'm not going to say, God, as soon as you do this, I'll do that. I'm going to say, God, watch me do this. God, see me seeing you in me. See me seeing you in me. Watch my faith. Watch me go. Watch me grow. Watch me believe. How many times has God put in your heart to do something that you were just afraid of doing? It's easy to measure your faith based on how many of your needs were met. I'm not finding it in the word where it says use your faith to meet your needs. I see where it says use your faith to believe Christ. And if Christ be in you, You have the mind of Christ, and then Paul said, now you can discern the will of the Father. Been beggars in the streets instead of living like kings by faith. Not talking about how much money you have, how many cars, how many houses. I'm not talking about any of that. This is not that message. Talking about using your faith to be a blessing to someone. Using your faith to change your heart, to change your mind. To enter into this alternate reality where John 14:27 becomes your reality. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. Not like the world do I give. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, my thoughts towards you are so good and so many. And we get upset because someone's going to do this. So-and-so spoke ill about me, or they're charging me more than they should have. Give it to them. Bless them. Be a blessing. Let your faith determine who you are. For it is written, you were designed to live by faith. And this is most certainly the greatest season of your lives. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout in the house. Stand with me today. Pulling on heaven time. We say it around here all the time. Pull on heaven 24/7. If you begin to use your faith to create a problem to be resolved by faith. And let me make it real clear and real simple. Whatever that is, God, my mind, my mind is no longer going to walk in fear or doubt. I'm creating a problem. The problem is I'm committing myself to be at peace. And I'm going to be at peace. God, I'm going to start this project or this business or this whatever. I've received word. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for money to come. Well, then be prepared to wait every step of the way, because that's what your faith has already set you up to do. Or you just step out there and say, I'm believing God. And whether I'm a success or not, I really don't care at this point. All I care about is I want to live by faith. I understand my design, and watch and see what God will do. See what great things God will do. None of these men had to do what they did. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, she had a need, absolutely. But she didn't have to do it the way she did. She was unclean. She could have did like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus didn't have to do what he did, but he did it too. She just said, I'm creating a problem for myself. I'm unclean, I'm embarrassed, and I shouldn't be in that crowd. But I'm going to do it anyway, because my faith says I don't even have to see his face. All I have to do is touch the hem of his garment. I'm creating a problem. I don't know if I can even get to it, but my faith says go for it. And the word says when she did, virtue came from God into her. Do you hear what I'm saying? Things will happen that wouldn't happen if you stop waiting for your faith to address a problem and exercise your faith at that time. Instead, if you will address an issue by faith and make that problem your blessing. Make that problem your victory. Make that problem your outcome. Be a good student of faith. Know your design. You're created to live by faith. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you answer me. For you're God ever present, the Lord ever with me, the Lord ever faithful. Stir me, Lord. Stir my faith. Stir my heart. Stir my mind. Stir me to increase in all that I am, beyond all that I know myself to be, that I may reach beyond the boundaries of myself. My needs will be met exceeding and abundant. Say it. My needs will be met like the lilies of the valley. They don't have to consider it. Say it. Like the lilies of the valley. But I am so blessed, I will be a blessing. I will increase beyond all that I need. Because my faith, say it with me, my faith isn't to satisfy me. It's to be in unity with you. And in doing so, you satisfy me. You meet every need. You provide. You overwhelm me. And Father, I praise you for it. I give you thanks, my God. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Father, be glorified in this body. Be glorified in the midst of this people. Be glorified in this congregation. Be heard, be seen, be revealed. Lord, be raised up in the hearts of your people. Let your kingdom come. Let it be expressed through your people. Let your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. So God be glorified. This is a day you have made. The Almighty One, the Lord God, has spoken and has summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. You made this day for your purpose and for your pleasure. You created it. And everyone that is living and breathing here right now, and those that are viewing all around the world today, right here, right now, you are the expression of God's will. And he's given you the power by giving you the ability to bring your will as an offering and to express your faith, to create something that your faith has to address and turn into something glorious. You're not driven by need. You're driven by faith. For it is written, the just shall live, be driven, be quickened, be made alive by his faith. And so are we this day, O God. I prophesy corporately over this body and those that are viewing today, saying, this is the hour of great exploits. This is the time of expanding whatever God has anointed you to do, whatever God's call on your life is to do, to step out in faith in such a measure that it is impossible for you to do it on your own. But the step of faith is yes, and in him, amen. And God will make it exactly the way he wants it. We celebrate by faith the opportunity to believe you, Father, for great and mighty things beyond what we know to ask or think. And your word is a commanding power within us. And we receive your word as yes. And in you, amen. 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 No kingdom could overcome David. No enemy or king could hush Elijah. Even when he feared the queen's decree, God still said, go back out and do what I've called you to do. And then he found a man by the name of Elisha, and he anointed him, threw his cloak on him. Elisha said, hang on, I'm going to go say bye to mom and dad, and I'll be right back. Elijah knew what he was doing. He said, what do I have to do with you? Do whatever you want to do. And he walked away. You know why? Because he knew if you're going to walk in a double portion of my spirit, you're going to have to do things you don't have to do. You're going to have to do things your faith commands you to do. You're going to have to do things that only faith says, let's do this. It's time for you to do that. It's time for this house to do that. It's time for you to take a step and say, there is no failure in my step, because every step of faith is a step of success. I can't fail if I take a step of faith because I'm living according to my design. That's success. I'm living by faith. This is that day. I prophesy over this body for a stirring in your spirit, a stirring in your mind, a stirring in your imagination to step out in a measure, in a way, to a degree that is beyond anything you're capable of doing on your own, that only your faith could answer. And in that, God's favor rests on you as the word is decreed. And in so, we're living according to the word. You are called to live by faith. It is your design, it is your call, and it is your purpose. And this is the greatest season of your lives. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout in the house. Come on.